broadcasting from Dublin, Ireland, and around the world on TalkingBrawlsMMA.com and iTunes. You're listening to Ireland's premier mixed martial arts show.
This is Mike Dolce.
Ian McCall.
James Little Evil Pulver.
The Crippler Chris Leaving.
Is your eye a favorite?
Johnny Hinger.
Frank the Legend Shamrock.
Lover, your voice of the UFC Octagon, and now we are live at Talking Brawl.
And yeah, we are back sitting here in the lovely Mainport Hotel in Rotterdam. Lovely view, beautiful weather, and we're back here with the guys, the UFC Nederland team here, and obviously Epic MMA. First of all, guys, you know, I just find myself in a crazy situation here. We're in the Netherlands for the first time at a UFC event, for the very first time, UFC's debut here. It's way, 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 way overdue. Just your thoughts, reaction, what's it going to do for the UFC, for the market here in Holland? How crucial is this and how far overdue is this?
Well, on one hand, it is far overdue just because of, like, the fans are already, like, asking for it for years. But there's a lot of things that, you know, that has to be arranged before this can be an actual event. The broadcast deal, of course.
Of course.
And, the cities that have been giving everybody a hard time. So, you know, I think it's good to finally have the UFC here in the Netherlands. And I think this is the beginning of something big. It could be. It all depends how the media, you know, are going to display it. And I think it's going to be some, like, local events and really, really, you know, start to develop some good up-and-comers. And I think it's going to be... great.
We look at, you know, the sport here, and, you know, obviously a huge kickboxing history in Holland. How important it is for the sport to kick on at the mainstream. What's the reaction amongst the public here? Are they happy? Obviously the ticket sold out quite quickly. What's the general feeling and the excitement levels for the card here in Rotterdam?
Well, the card is mostly strikers, and I don't know if the UFC did it on purpose, but it's you know, there are some grapplers, but it's mostly strikers, so I think that the crowd will actually enjoy it, and yeah, I think it's gonna have a good time.
Let's talk about some of the fights here. We've you know, obviously the poster boy of you know, Dutch mixed martial arts, Alistair Overeem. You know, he's one title away really from doing the Grand Slam across the board. Obviously Strikeforce, you know, Pride, everywhere he's been, he's done everything. I'll ask you, Josh. Let's talk about Alistair Overeem as a star in Holland. Is he the legend that we know him in world mixed martial arts? Is he the same regarded in the Netherlands?
We Dutch people are pretty sober. If you ask, no.
Not all the time.
And certainly not him.
Shit, that's fucked up. No, if you would ask Overeem himself, he
won't get recognized. And maybe in Amsterdam, but if you would walk around here in Rotterdam, there's like maybe 10 people that would recognize him if you'd be walking around the whole night.
Are you serious? That's sort of surprising to me, because, you know, I look at Alistair and you know, I was at his last fight in Florida, and he's you know, he's a very radiant guy, and especially in MMA circles on the world scene, you know, John would agree, Jim would agree here, that he's one of the poster boys for the UFC and one of the guys that you would immediately recognize.
I think he's more recognizable in America than he's here. And in Japan, of course. But here, he was big in the K-1 days, but the kickboxing scene here has died down a little.
Yeah, why is that? Do you think that's affected mixed martial arts as well? Potentially.
K-1 stopped, obviously.
Yeah.
And after that, it was a drought. There was no good organizations that would... we didn't have no TV deals here, so... and nowadays, all the kickboxers we got Vico Verhoeven's going into MMA.
Yeah.
And Sauer going into MMA. You see all these kickboxers just transitioning to MMA. Because the kickboxing scene isn't just big enough as it was.
Gangsters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's why
there's been a lack. There's a lack of real respect.
Yeah.
And validity.
Yeah. Yeah, from the mainstream because of that.
Glory is going to be in Amsterdam next month, I think. They won't serve alcohol because they're expensive. They got a bad rap in kickboxing here in Holland. And now, because of the UFC is coming, Holland is the first event with a cage is actually happening this month, later this month. First, it was all in the ring.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really safe. It's not really regulated. We need the IMF also.
Yeah.
We need a regulatory system.
Of course.
But that's why it's good that the UFC is here as well, because that's what they told us. They spoke with the police. There are no tables at the UFC, and they're not involved with organized crime. So this will legitimize the sport and make sure that it will grow as well. And because of the kickbox scene has died because of that, there's no money anymore. And
of course.
Fighters like Tyron Spong are retiring. Everybody's transitioning to MMA because
it's a bigger stage.
Do you think it's affecting mixed martial arts as well, though, here? Because obviously there's been a progression from mixed martial arts from kickboxing to mixed martial arts. The fact that the scene here, as you said, is damaged, the kickboxing scene. Is that, your conveyor belt of fighters coming through to fight in mixed martial arts, is it being damaged, ultimately, in the Netherlands?
Not really, man. Just like I said, there's not a big enough platform for kickboxers here to shine. So they're going to look at the next best thing, and MMA is the biggest, fastest sport in the world, and Holland needs to catch up.
Yeah.
It's been long, like you said, it's been long overdue since they came here.
Yeah.
They should have come last year. That was on the planning, but that didn't go through. But I think if the media, the mainstream media, not the sports media, are gonna publish this right and not like it's a violent sport and everybody's kicking the shit out of each other, then it opens doors for local organizations. It opens doors for the expanding that they're already doing in Europe.
Michael, talk to me about mixed martial arts on, Joshua mentioned it there, as in the mainstream outlets. What sort of mainstream outlets here in the net? I know it's on, I think, Fox here in the Netherlands. The card's going to be broadcast. Who are the mainstream outlets that are going to be covering the event here at the weekend?
I mean, sorry.
What other outlets in the Dutch mainstream media are going to be covering it?
Only Fox Sports is covering.
And written publications, is there any?
Yeah, local newspapers, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dutch newspapers like Telegraaf, Trouw.
The Kappenheim.
They were here. So, but it's like these people are coming here. Now this is the first time UFC here. So what are they gonna do after that? Because it's not like every week is UFC that they're gonna post something in the sports section. No, this is gonna be the first time.
I know a good website, epicmma.nl. If you go there. And
yeah.
You do that.
Nah, I heard it's rubbish. You tell me it was rubbish.
Yeah. I saw it.
Oh.
I saw it.
It's a joke. Okay, yeah, we'll edit that bit out.
with some Harris guy, I don't know, man. But I don't think that. I think that like 70% is just going to cover this event and maybe come back next year. And
yeah.
In the meantime, there isn't any big media outlet that's paying attention.
Is there any, like, we have obviously in Ireland, we've had a long tradition, like amateur shows and professional shows, as in Cage Warriors has come to Dublin quite a lot. We've had Bama come to Dublin. Is there any regional shows in the Netherlands that have been set up to establish conveyor belts?
We even got different rules, man. We got a different rule set. It's like it's no punching on the ground, no elbows on the ground, and it's because of all the mayors and stuff, and they think it's too violent. So they make these amateur rules, but now, like I said, the first cage event is going to be next one, Dutch organization. So it's going to open doors, and we're going to see where it goes, man. We think personally it's going to blow up. If the crowd is going to be good tomorrow, UFC wants to come back. They see that we want them to come back. I think it's going to blow up. This year is going to be the year of MMA in Holland.
We've had it, obviously, in Dublin when the UFC came back after, I think, was it UFC 89 was the first show, and then they came back, did the fight night, what was it, 2-3 years ago. You know, it really obviously captured people's imagination, Conor McGregor, things like that. How crucial is it? Let's go to the main event first of all, guys. How crucial is it that Alice Rovereem gets the job done for mixed martial arts and gets the win on Sunday night? How crucial is it that Alistair wins for you guys to, as you said, really leave a footprint for the UFC to come back to the Netherlands in the future?
You all right?
I think it's pretty crucial. I think it's pretty crucial. Because not just for the MMA fans who are following it for a long time, but also for the MMA fans who are just maybe the first event and who will come more often to an MMA event if they see the local guy, the guy from the country win. And now three people from the Netherlands on the card. So if they all three win, that would be great for the Netherlands.
Yeah, we obviously have another number of fights, and we'll get back to the main event in a couple of minutes' time. We've Jermaine Derendami fighting up against Anna Elmos. Anna coming in at short notice from Denmark, taking this fight against Jermaine. How can you see the fight going down on tomorrow night in that fight?
I think it will be a stand-up fight, lots of striking. Anna is also on the feet. Jermaine is the world champion.
Yeah.
Undefeated.
Is she another girl that possibly can, you know, like, can she make a push towards the world title?
She's working hard on the ground to get the game also, to elevate the game as well. So, I hope she can do it. I think if she wins this fight, it will definitely get her. She's already in the top 15, and maybe she got a top 10 fight. She was shadowed against Sandcroft in December, but she got injured. That was a great fight for her because she was 4th and 5th ranked at the time, Sandcroft. But yeah, it just sucks for her that she got injured.
But the fact that Ronda Rousey got beat by a great kickboxer in Holly Holm shows how dominant a great kickboxer can be in MMA. So I think that if Sherman wins, it will open up doors. It will open up doors for her because there are already talks about people who want to see, for instance, Holm versus Sherman because they're both great kickboxers.
Do you think as well, like, this is John here again, but in terms of the MMA breakout in Ireland and in Dublin was very much centered around a breakout star that we had in Conor McGregor, and you guys here you've had Overeem, you've got Struve, you've got a bigger martial arts background by far than Ireland does. Do you think that it just this weekend, you were mentioning, like, off camera or off mic a little bit earlier on, that perhaps Alistair Overeem wouldn't be recognized walking around Rotterdam. Do you think that this time next week that might be different?
I think he will be recognized a little more, but even so, if he will be recognized, we Dutch people, we aren't that, like he said, we are really sober. If a celebrity walks by us now across the street, nobody would take a glance or like, hey, that's that girl from TV, but that's it. So we don't really
get excited.
Yeah, we don't really get excited for that. But if Dutch people, especially if Overeem wins, then there are title implications. It will get more news, it will get more bigger, people will notice the sport more, and not really the person, but the sport will get noticed. And there are certain people in MMA that make noise. Ronda's one of them, Conor's one of them, because when Nate Diaz won from Conor, it was in every newspaper over here as well.
Even here in Holland.
In Holland, but that won't, I don't think that will happen with the Dutch stars. Probably a couple of news revenues will mention it, but there are just certain stars that the Dutch people also will pay attention to. The biggest thing is that if they win, the sport get more publicity. Yeah.
Let's look at the Alistair Overy fight as well. You know, is there, you know, I think Alistair, you know, was asked a question yesterday. If he is to win, I think he's said more or less, he's been told he's getting a title shot. Does he get a title shot in a win?
It's, you know, if he wins on a spectacular fashion, if I'm predicting, and yes, I am a little biased, I'm Dutch, I'm predicting first round TKO. If he wins in a spectacular fashion, I think there's not a lot of people that can deny him. Instead, if Kane would really put on a show in his next fight, I don't know, man. He got promised a title shot. That's what we heard. But we know things about title shots getting promised, and I think he deserves it, but I don't.
He has a win over Verdum. I mean, that's a big deal.
Exactly.
The promo writes itself.
But it all depends on how is that fight going to work out, Verdum Stipe. If that's going to be a close fight, we may be looking at a rematch, because rematches are being given away as candy in the last couple of years. And exactly what I said, if Kane.
That's your Carlos Condit.
Yeah, I know, but then you can just write the rules. No, but if Kane puts whip ass on his next fight, yeah. Then
it's about Oscar making a statement.
Exactly, man. He needs
the job done in emphatic fashion against Andre Rossi. Does he get the job done?
I told you, man. First round TKO.
I'm starting to have doubts just because of the whole John Winklejohn thing. Because Alistair is training with John, the mastermind of that. So, you know, they're going to exploit the holes.
How crucial is that? You know, you look, Alistair's gone from a lot of different gyms, obviously, with Black Zillions. For Alistair, is that about Alistair, you know, maybe enhancing his game, getting a better mindset, the way things work, working with different coaches, adding pieces to his game? Is that the way Alistair is
working? I have no clue. I know for sure that for instance, I've heard that Uriah Faber screw
Team Alpha Male,
that's like a whole family here in Holland. There isn't really that family bonding, it's fighting. There are no friends, in that case Dana White is right. It's an individual sport. You can be a team, but there's only one belt, so yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
What can Arlovski do is, you know, for Arlovski to win this fight on Saturday, is it about the forward pressure we saw against you know, Travis Brown? Because, you know, Alistair likes to get set. We saw it against JDS. He likes the, you know, the knees and the body kicks and things like that to slow them down. And obviously the boxing was incredible against a guy like JDS. Michael, first of all.
Yeah, I think if Alistair fights like he did in his last previous fights, like patiently picking his shots, you see that in his last fights he's been more patient, and I think that was his problem at first. You know, he had some consecutive losses, and I think the new Alistair, as you can call it that way, is more patient. So what Arlovski should do, I don't know what he can do actually. Of course, he's a good striker, and I think if he puts the pressure on it, I think that could be a key to success for Arlovski, because I don't know if he can deal with that pressure. And of course, I think Arlovski, as said before, has a strategic advantage, and I'm not really sure what his game plan is actually. I think Alistair might take it to the ground. It could be because if you look at it, there are two strikers, so anything can happen. Arlovski just has to land one clean punch, and Alistair could be down. And if he takes him down to the ground, you know, Alistair has like almost this.
Is it the guy who could possibly land the first big shot wins?
Probably, yeah. And if you look at Alistair's record, it's almost 50-50 in KOs and submissions. So he has a clear advantage on the ground. I don't know how much finishes Arlovski has with a submission. I don't know. You might know. I don't know, minus one or something, I don't know. But That would be interesting if you take it to the ground. I know you probably want to please Dutch fans and just keep it standing, but if he takes it to the ground, and if he can take it to the ground, and if he pulls off a nice submission, that would be nice as well.
Ground and pound.
Or ground and pound, yeah.
And just in general, for I think everyone here is probably going to go with Oscar over me. I am as well, I think.
Yeah.
Jim and John are both going.
Yeah,
you're Splinter's doubt.
Explain.
Just as I said, I think the masterminds are going to play this thing. It's playing the strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. No, it's going to be a really interesting fight. There's obviously the hometown crowd as well. We've seen that in Dublin numerous times. The Dutch crowd, and I've always been loud. You know, I've been to football matches. You know, with Dutch fans, you've always been fantastic. You've a good relationship with the Irish as well, as we can see here. We're having a few beers, shooting the breeze here. And we're better at football at the moment, so we just throw that one in there, right? We're in the Euros, you're not, okay? And you know, in fairness, you've put us out of a few as well. Euro 96 in Anfield, you beat us in the playoffs, so it's a little bit. But have you MMA terms? You've no world titles yet, have you? Okay, all right, now let's stop. There's a lot more Dutch guys here than there is Irish, so we probably want to shut my mouth. But hometown, home crowd advantage, massive as well, huge for Alistair.
I think at the weigh-ins, I mean, you heard it. And this was only a little part. I think I wasn't expecting this at the weigh-ins, actually. The massive food standing behind our own fighters. Yeah, man. After I've seen the weigh-ins tomorrow, when all the three Dutch fighters are coming up, the crowd's gonna go wild.
Yeah, yeah.
And we need that.
Definitely. 100%, I completely agree. I think it'd be great for the UFT to solidify another market in Europe as well. I think it's crucial for the development of the sport and obviously going into the mainstream. We have another big fight involving Dutchman. We'll finish on this one. Obviously, the skyscraper, Stefan Struve against Bigfoot. Thoughts on this fight? First of all, you know, what are we going to see here? Because it's an interesting fight. Both guys have had their problems. Obviously, we've had Bigfoot. You know, he's lost a couple of fights in his last. What's his UFC record?
2-6.
2-6. Look at this. Oh, straight out of the bat.
Johnny Ralph here.
But. How does this one go down? With Stefan, obviously, with the heart problems, you know, it hasn't been an easy time for Stefan lately. What is Stefan got to do to win, you know, in this fight? Stefan's going in as favourite in this fight. Should he be favourite?
Yeah, man. I think so. I think it's a cool fight for both fighters, man. As you said, Bigfoot doesn't have a good record in the UFC. Struve doesn't have a very good record in the UFC. I think the one that wins this, I think, especially Stefan is fighting in Holland. I mean, the hometown crowd we're talking about, that's going to do him good. And I think he looks on point. He looks sharp. He says he's mentally strong. The training went well. And if he fights the fight, we know he can fight, like, against Nogueira, then there's no way Silva will win.
There's Jonathan Schrager from MixedMartialArts.com. How we doing? Jim, let's get you in here on this one as well. Jim from MMA Latest. Jim, is the range, how much of a significant factor is, you know, Struve's obviously 6'11", he's called a skyscraper.
Yeah.
It's obvious nickname, good nickname. How crucial is the range going to be in this fight? Because out of the four guys, I think Simon Head mentioned earlier on, Bigfoot is actually the smallest of the four heavyweights on this card.
Is that? Thing.
Yeah, it is, because with the nickname. It's,
Stefan walked past us in the hotel earlier, and I think we all looked round and were like, whoa, that's the first time we've actually seen him in person, and this guy has some incredible advantage, but what he doesn't seem to have at the moment is the mental edge. He seems to, I mean, everyone saw that fight with Jared Rochal over in UFC 193 in Melbourne. I remember saying after that fight, I thought the UFC should have made them both walk home. It was one of the first fights of, it was one of the worst fights we've actually ever seen. Is he going to do the job tomorrow? I wouldn't put any chips on it, like, because you can just never guarantee that he's actually going to turn up. Is he going to use his size advantage that we've all been praying and wanting to see him use for so many years? Is he going to use it? I don't know. I just don't know. And there's, whilst he has all the advantages heading into the fight, I'm not so sure he's going to get the job done.
I'm a little bit out as well. Michael, I'll ask you, obviously the heart issues that Stefan had, was that an issue, and his mindset, did that play into consideration? You know, how damaging has that been to what Stefan maybe believes in himself going into the fights?
I think it was an issue. I think this Sunday we will see the comeback of Stefan Struve.
Do you think
he's ready?
Do you think it could be tomorrow? He looked very, very pumped at the weigh-ins today. He looked really, really, really keen just to get it on and to get that fight in him. He was probably the most keen fighter on the card in the weigh-in there and the stare down.
I know for sure, because I have filmed him a couple of times in training camp. The time that he fainted in the back, I was there as well in his training camp filming. And I noticed stuff, you know. You notice that he doesn't go that hard. He quits a lot of time, takes breaks a lot of times. 3 days ago, I was with him again in his filming him, training the whole day with him. And he, mentally, he is ready to make a change, especially with his teammate passing away as well. He's motivated to take advantage of this moment and, you know, fight for him. Alistair Overeem just jumped in.
Good to have you here for a moment. Alistair, huge fight. Obviously tomorrow night. We're just discussing the fight there. Title shot.
Taping yourself for YouTube videos. I always Google something. I want to see something, and then I get some guy talking about the fight. Okay, but what? Title shot after this? Yes. Win this fight. Title shot later this year. I'm aiming for, you know, of course, injuries and all that. Aiming for November 12th, Madison Square Garden. Would be great for a new episode of The Ream.
What have you got to do to get this fight won? You know, Arlovski's obviously going to, I reckon, you know, go on the front foot, charge at you, do a lot like he did against.
Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I mean, if he. I'm going to beat him regardless. I know what to do. I know what he's, you know, I've got a tremendous amount of confidence for my training. And I already sparred with him a couple of times. You know, he's a strong guy, he's a big guy, but should be no problem.
So, we're looking at a stoppage again like we got against GDS.
I don't think it's going to be a decision, no. He's not a decision. Look at this guy over here.
Is it a similar performance though to the JDS fight? Is that what you're looking to implement in the fight?
It depends on him, because he might fight as JDS or he might not. I don't know. I'm prepared for different scenarios.
It's a fight I'm very much looking forward to. Thanks for stopping by. I do appreciate the time and best luck tomorrow.
Thanks for having me. Everybody from you're from Holland. Where's the rest of you guys from?
England.
Ireland. Two Irish.
Ireland, yeah.
Ireland.
Two Irish. Hello, Tatas. Hello, Tatas. Jonathan. Jonathan. And how's your, I heard your game is going pretty well. How's FIFA going?
Oh, no. Okay, you can tell. Okay, this man over here has been stopped answering my phone calls. And now I see him. I was like, hey!
He's talking about Gio.
We were supposed to play yesterday. Gio and MIA.
Who's your team?
We were supposed to play 2 days ago, actually. 2 days ago.
Yeah, yesterday as well. So I ran twice.
He's been MIA for the last 48 hours. I was actually hoping that we could.
Let's go!
Let's go.
Who's your team?
Okay, World Cup. So FIFA 14 World
14.
Cup.
14.
Okay, I hate 15. This doesn't play nice. 16 is kind of like a copy of 14. Less speed. I mean, it's not a World Cup thing. It doesn't have the same energy. It doesn't have the same songs. It's boring. It's not exciting. You're playing like this. World Cup, at least you're in it. It's exciting.
No, I'm going to play like this again. So it doesn't
matter. No, but even then, it's so exciting.
Any game is exciting.
Prediction. A prediction?
Just one final one for you. You know, the Netherlands aren't in the European Championship.
I know.
But Ireland are.
Okay.
I'm not going to say anymore.
I remember that moment when you guys eliminated us. I think that was the European Cup too.
That was the World Cup, but I was actually at the match.
Jason McAteer.
Qualifier, Jason McAteer.
Yeah. Jason McAteer.
Remember it like it was
everything
yesterday.
Went wrong in that
2001 it was.
We got a player sent off as well. It was amazing.
But in fairness, you guys, Euro 96, you guys beat us in Anfield 2-1.
We're a better team, come on.
In fairness, we got on well with the Dutch.
Yeah, you do. And that was a very great win. Back with David McIntyre.
Yeah.
But I remember that.
He's coming back as well.
Oh man, that was terrible.
Okay, guys, well, that's basically wrapping up the podcast.
Struve, by knockout.
In the main event.
Struve. No, we talked about Struve. Arlovski.
Okay, lads. Been a pleasure to have you on. Very much looking forward to what happens in Dutch mixed martial arts over the next year.
Definitely.
We're doing a big picture.
We'll keep each other posted.
Thanks for everyone stopping by. We're all taking a picture here, so we'll be out of here. We'll chat to you next week.